Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and among God's people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I believe with all my heart that God is a good God and He wants you to have His very best. If you agree with that, give God a big wave offering. Amen. Amen. Real quick, I want to give you a little good report. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the doctor for just a routine physical. And he was thumping around on my back, and he said, Jack, you got a spot back here, and it don't look good. He said, why don't you come back in a few weeks, and we'll take a biopsy of it. Well, you know what that word does to you. So first thing I did is I come to church, and I had Dr. Carey pray for me. Cindy prayed for me. The Wednesday night Bible prayer meeting prayed for me, and Sister Rachel prayed for me. Well, I had the biopsy done Wednesday, and Friday morning, the doctor called, and he said, just benign, don't worry about it, no cancer either. Whew! If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Joshua. We're going to look at three short verses of scripture. Joshua chapter 2. I love the book of Joshua. Joshua is my favorite book in the Bible. Without doubt, it is my favorite book in the Bible. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Bible says, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window by which thou didst let us down, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brother, and all thy father's household home unto thee. Now let's go to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 1. I love the book of Matthew. Matthew is without doubt my favorite book in the Bible. Now, Brother Jack, you just told us that Joshua was your favorite book in the Bible. Well, it is. It's whichever one I'm reading at the time is my favorite book. Here in a little bit, we're going to go to my favorite book of Hebrews. Amen. I got a lot of favorite books, 66 favorite books in this Bible altogether. If you guys keep that up, you're going to pull the preach right out of me. I'm going to tell you that right now. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. And Solomon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. The children of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And one of the things that kept them going was the promise that someday they would cross that Jordan River and they would take the possession of land that God had promised Father Abraham. And today was the day. And they were excited because they were going to take possession. But they looked up and there was an obstacle in front of them. Obstacle was called Jericho. It was a fortress city, high, thick walls. There were soldiers in there armed to the teeth. How many of you have ever heard from God? You know you've heard from God. Take this job, enroll in this school, marry this man, marry this woman. Make this investment. And boy, you're all excited and you're ready to cross that spiritual Jordan River and you look up and there is an obstacle in your way. And it's not just any obstacle. It's a spiritual Jericho with high, thick walls full of the devil's crowd looking at you saying, you're not going to take that possession. How many of you have ever been there before? When you find yourself in that position, brother, you got one of two choices. You can either turn around and you could head back off into the desert and you can wander for another 40 years and just forget about the whole thing. Or you can do like Joshua, gird up the loins of your faith, put on the whole armor of God, look that obstacle in the eye and say, you're coming down in the name of Jesus. Let me let you in on a little insider information about your spiritual obstacle, Jericho. Jericho comes from an old Hebrew word that means moon city. Now, I can understand somebody getting upset over a place called Jericho. That just sounds rough when it comes off lips. But for the life of me, I don't know how anybody can get upset over a place called Moon City. So let me give you a little preacher advice. Next time that obstacle comes your way, you put on the whole armor of God, you gird up your faith, and you call it what it is. Moon City, out of my face in the name of Jesus. Joshua knew from God that he was going to take Jericho. So being an astute military man, he sends two spies over. And these two spies, brother, they're a work of art. They think they're hid. But you can stand on top of the walls of Jericho and just look across that river, and there is that army armed to the teeth, and they've got victories under their belt. And there's strangers in town. Don't you know they're looking for strangers in town? And they pick as the base of their operation a house that's on top of the wall. They've got to climb the stairs up and down in front of everybody on those steps. And the house that they choose belongs to a woman named Rahab the harlot that has customers coming and going all day and night. Brilliant! They think they are hit. I can see it now. Probably two old guys about my age with the attitude, why, we've been a spying for 37 years. You can't tell us how to spy. You ever know anybody like that? They think they're hid. People think they're hid from God. You're not hid from God. Prophet Jeremiah said, God's everywhere. You can go to the farthest reaches of the universe, brother, and you're still going to find the presence of God. You're not hid from God. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there thinking, well, this is the part where Brother Jack says, you're not hid from God. God's watching you. And the next time you're planning one of those nefarious deeds of yours, he's going to get you. But I'm going to trick you. I'm not going to go that direction. I'm going to go a whole different direction. Although it might not hurt when you go home tonight to give that thought a little consideration, if you know what I mean. You're not hid from God. God sees the good things you do. The book of Hebrews says, he is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God sees the good things you do. Did you know God sees it when somebody new comes through those back doors and you come up and you shake their hand and you welcome them? That may not sound very important to you, but let me tell you what happened to me and Cindy. We were looking for a church. And we went high and low all over Sepulveda and Tulsa. We would walk into church and we would sit down and, oh man, the people were friendly. I'm telling you what, they were really friendly with one another. Me and Cindy'd sit down and we looked like two bullfrogs sitting on a log. Who wants to shake hands with a bullfrog? A couple of times we had these little bitty 90-year-old ladies that would come up to you and grab the tip ends of your fingers and say, Lord bless you. You ever had one of those before? Lord bless you. We walked up to the front doors of Spirit Life Church, brother, and we got baptized in the love of Jesus. Oh, come on in here. Oh, brother, so good to have you here. We walk in that back door, and this is the honest God's truth. I am not stretching this by any means. We walk in that back door back there, and before you could say, even so, come Lord Jesus, this man walks up to us, grabs my hand, gives me a big bear hug, and says, oh, brother, it's so good to have you here. Well, I was in the embrace of the love of Jesus. I look around in the corner of my eye, and there's a woman, and she's standing right over here. She sees us back there, and she comes down that row of chairs, and she gets in the aisle. As soon as she gets in the aisle, her hand comes out and she, oh, brother, it's so good to have you here. Little tiny woman walks up to me right after that, shakes my hand and says, if you ever need prayer, we'll pray for you. We're a praying bunch. There's this woman walks up to me right after that and says, oh, it's so good to have you here. You want to go to lunch? But the one that I remember the most, this couple sitting in front of us, and he doesn't even get up out of his chair. He reaches around and he says, oh, brother, it's good to have you here. God bless you so much. And I'm thinking, brother, you better slow down. You're going to hurt your back. I look at Cindy and I said, can you believe this? Now, still, you might be sitting there saying, well, Brother Jack, you're a preacher. That's what preachers are supposed to say. Always greet somebody new. You're kind of overplaying this. Me and Cindy were welcomed into the loving arms of this congregation 4 months to this very day. And here I am standing on this platform preaching the gospel in return. I didn't ask anybody. I didn't toot my horn. But here I am. May not seem important to you, but you'll never convince me of that. Now let's talk about Rahab. Are you with me? Good. Let's talk about Rahab. I'm not going to pull any punches on Rahab, so if you're that kind of people, if you're a person that's sensitive and you get your feelings hurt really, real easy, you might want to get up and go get you a cup of coffee and come back in about 2 or 3 minutes, all right? Rahab was a harlot. What that means is when she wasn't cooking, cleaning, or sweeping the floor, she was in the back room selling sex to a man. Being a fortress city, there were probably days and nights they were lined up at the door. All right? But they discover that the king knows those two spies are there. And those two spies are in trouble. If they catch him, they're going to kill him, and it will not be pleasant. Now, I want you to know what Rahab the harlot did and did not do. When she realized the predicament that these men were in, what she did not do is say, "Oh my, this is terrible. I'll be praying for you." She did not say, "You know, if you Google up easy ways of getting out of Jericho, you might find a YouTube video somewhere out there, you know. The library and the computers are just down the road, and shoo them out the door." She didn't do that. Rahab swung into action, brother. She grabbed those guys, took them up on top of the house, put them off in the corner, put straw and hay over and hid them. She swung into action. Faith without works is dead being of itself. I hear it all the time. This nation is going through the dogs. This nation's got the devil in it. This nation's falling apart. If you don't like the way this nation is, brother, then do what Rahab did and swing into action. Go out to the highways and the byways where you live, where you work, where you do your business, where you buy your groceries, and let people know by the words of your mouth and the actions of your life that there is a resurrected Lord and a soon coming King, Messiah Jesus. If we get enough of them saved, the troubles of this nation will take care of itself. Can you say amen? She gets them hid, and then the cops show up. You ever had the cops show up at your house? Well, I'll give you a moment to pause, won't it? I'm sure it was the same way in Jericho as it is here. Everybody was looking, what's going on? What's going on? Rahab, over Rahab's house. You know how they do. But now she's in trouble. If she gets caught hiding these guys, she'll suffer the same fate that they do. But that does not daunt her at all. She sends the cops on a wild goose chase. Oh, them men's, they was here, but they run off and they went that way. If you hurry up, you might catch them. Away they go. She goes up on top of the roof, and she gets those guys, and she says, "Now look, I've done you a good turn, and you got to do something for me." And then she makes this statement. She says, "The Lord your God rules the heavens and the earth." Those two spies recognize faith. Now watch them. They didn't say, "Oh, we're respectable dudes. Darling, you're on your own. We ain't going to do nothing, no harlot." No. Here's what they tell her. Say, "You see this scarlet rope? You led us down the wall with this scarlet rope, and then you take this rope and you tie it in your window. We're coming through Jericho, and we're going to clean house on this place. But anybody that is in this house with the scarlet rope in the window will be saved. Nobody is going to touch anybody that's inside the house with a scarlet rope." You know the rest of that story? Here they come, across the Jordan River. They marched around Jericho several times. They blew on the shofar trumpet. They gave a great shout, and the walls of that city came down some fell out, some fell in, some sank in the ground. Those soldiers came in and they wiped Jericho out, except for the people that were in the house with the scarlet rope. Now I want you to follow me close. The Bible said that when the battle was over, they brought Rahab out, and she dwelt with Israel from then on. She married a man of Israel named Solomon. She had been transformed by her faith in the scarlet rope. She was no longer a harlot. That transformation made her pure as the wind-driven snow, good enough for any man to marry that woman. Matthew says that Rahab was the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma of Messiah Jesus. And when the guy wrote the book of Hebrews, and he made a list of all of the faith giants, Abraham, Moses, David, who did he include? Rahab. Because she was transformed by faith in the scarlet rope. We've got a scarlet rope. It is called the blood of Jesus. The blood that was shed down his body, down his legs, off the end of his toes onto the ground. And faith in that blood is transformational. It is supernatural. It will change a sinner into a saint. You may be sitting here, and you may be just that, a sinner. And you heard these words, and you're thinking, Brother Jack, I need a Savior. Brother Jack, I just recognize I am a sinner. Brother Jack, according to the Word, judgment's coming. I got good news for you, brother. There's a scarlet rope you can hang in your window called the blood of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You may be one of these people that wakes up in the morning sick again, day after day. And you wonder to yourself, when is this ever going to end? You got hope this morning. You got a scarlet rope in your window called the blood of Jesus. By his stripes, we are healed. You may be one of these people that wakes up in the morning, and your bills are up here, and your money's down here, and you're wondering, how am I going to make it? I got to buy groceries today, and if I buy groceries, I won't have enough money to buy the gas I need to go to work. Brother, you got a scarlet rope to put in your window this morning. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You may be one of these people that wakes up in the morning and in that grip of anxiety, and you think, why am I anxious? And it's every day and I cannot shake it. Brother, you got hope. You've got a scarlet rope to put in your window called the blood of Jesus, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind. You may be a person in here today with an addiction. There's 1,001 things that a man can get addicted to. First of all, let me say, you're in good company. We're not here to point you out. We're not here to put you down. We're not here to call you weird. We're here to see you delivered.
Amen.
Whom the Son has set free shall be free indeed. We have a scarlet rope called the blood of Jesus. Faith in that scarlet rope is transformational. That's the end of my sermon. I want every person in this auditorium to stand to your feet. Every person in this auditorium, stand to your feet. Find someone. Join hands with that person. We are not spectators. We are participants in the move of the Spirit of God. I want you to pray for that person that you are holding their hand. Pray that they be saved. Pray that they be healed. Pray that they be delivered. Take hold of faith. Place it in the blood of Jesus and watch the transformation. If you are here and you are in need, you need a healing. You need to be delivered. You need to be set free. You need you need some money. Let's just be real. Receive this morning. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we latch hold to the scarlet rope. Father, we latch hold to the blood of Jesus. We apply faith and we pray the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. For those that are a sinner, let them be transformed into a saint this morning. For those that are sick, let them be healed in the name of Jesus. For those that are in the need of deliverance, let them be delivered by the blood of the Lamb. And we speak this done in the mighty name of Jesus. Now let's give Jesus a round of applause this morning. Oral Roberts made this statement, I'll never forget it. He said, "The best part of any service is the benediction." Because when you come to the benediction, that's where you take what you just got out. So here is the benediction. I want you to turn and look somebody right in the eye, give them a bear hug for Jesus, and say, "My goodness, you sure are pretty." And you are released in the love and the power of Jesus. Amen.
My goodness, you sure are hurting.